But I really believe that for all of us, we ought to follow the Lord's leading. Amen. And do exactly what he asks. And so I'm going to do exactly what the Lord asked of me tonight. For all of us, if you're not familiar with the passage of Scripture, this comes from the prophet Jeremiah by the mouth of the Lord. And the prophet is known as the weeping prophet for a reason, because he was pretty much the prophet that God told him, you're going to preach and they ain't going to turn. You're going to proclaim and they ain't going to act. Even if you read long enough in this passage, you'll find that he's going to tell Israel exactly what God said for them to do, and they say, we ain't going to do it. We live in that day and age. It's not like we don't live in an America that was founded upon the Word of God, has all the truth that, I mean, more truth than any nation on planet Earth, save one, and that is Israel. And I'll just be honest with you today, this is directly written to the nation of Israel. I'm not going to preach on our country. I'm going to preach to the Christian tonight. And Jeremiah is just simply going to talk about clay, and I'll just be very direct tonight that every one of us, our makeup, our DNA is dirt. All right, we're made right from the ground. God put us together, and it was his life that he breathed into us, and man became a living soul. Nobody was a tadpole. Nobody climbed out of any hole and, you know, was any kind of muck. Nobody was a monkey and the tail dropped off, all right? I mean, I'm just going to tell you, if God gave me a tail, I wouldn't want to lose it. That thing would come in handy. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, just think about it. If you had both your hands full of tools and you could grab something else with that thing, what? It don't make no sense. I have not evolved past a tail. I didn't get one because God didn't believe I needed one. Amen? Amen and amen. I'm just trying to help everybody tonight. Think about it with the right mindset. Amen? Tonight, before we pray, if you found Jeremiah chapter number 18, I do plan on using the Bible a little bit tonight, so I pray that you'll just be able to kind of put something or maybe one of the ribbons that's in your Bible right there so we can come back to chapter 18, but we'll run some just different places in the Bible. I want you to see some truths. These are simple truths from the Word of God. And again, I just want you to be able to be ready to turn. It's not always my way to do that, but I just want to be able to show you some things from the Bible tonight, not profound things, things you already know. One of the greatest things is to be reminded about what you already know, especially in a time when God wants us to desperately, and our church needs us to be witnesses of what has already happened to us. When people in our area need us to be a witness of what has happened to us because Jesus has come in. And so as we kind of prepare for our big day, we want to prepare ourselves and remind ourselves where we came from. Amen. God made us. Amen. And he's redeemed us if we're saved here tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare. I pray, if you would, you pray for me. And if you would, I'm going to pray for Brother Chad again. And he's heavy on my heart tonight. So I pray you'll pray for him as well as I pray and lift his name up in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do pray tonight as we meet together, Lord. I know that they're closing their service in Waycross, Lord. But I pray for the man of God there, my friend. Lord, I just pray and lift him up to you. My heart is heavy for him. I love him. And I know he loves me, Lord, but I know more than that, that we both love you. And God, I know that you're a God that can touch, heal, encourage, and help in our time of need. So God, I pray now that you fulfill every need that he has. Put a hedge of protection about him, God. Use him mightily in your will and in your way. God, I pray that you just, if there's anything that I can do, God, I pray that you'd use me in his life. But God, I pray you'd bring the people that he needs right now in his life. And so we ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter number 18, I pray you'll take the Bible and go to verse number 1 there. The primary use of the scripture was from Jeremiah to the people of God in Israel. And this is all for our admonition. I have preached from this passage before, so I know the primary interpretation of the scripture, but the application tonight will be to us as Christians. And again, they are believers, just from Old Testament believers that are being written to, and many of them were rebellious believers and would not listen, all right? Some of them weren't believers at all, but were a part of a nation. I want you to see in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." I want you to pick up some things tonight. Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. He walks in, and God wants to get him an illustration that he will use in the lives of God's people to let them know that when they fall down, that God's got a plan to remake them. For all of us that are in here and are highfalutin, stuck up, half Pharisee, let me remind you, you're just dirt. Now, you may not like that, and you came to church tonight, and you said, Preacher, you know, why are you after me? I'm not trying to disparage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Listen, when you know, I'm just telling you, everybody likes to think about themselves as being a pretty good person, and I'm glad you are tonight. Listen, you were dirt that didn't stay outside. You stood up and walked yourself on in here under your own power and on your own decision. I'll just say amen to that. But for all of us, that if we're too careful, we'll get too high thinking about ourselves, and all of us, all of the human race, has been marred in the hands of the potter. God made man, lifted him up out of the dirt, gave us dominion over all of the earth, and then we went out and messed it up. Women, you just messed us up. The devil came and deceived you. But man, listen, I'm going to tell you, men had a lot worse because we weren't deceived. The woman has an excuse, and she made it. She said, the devil made me do it. And listen, every man in this room, listen, Adam couldn't make that claim. He made a willful choice, and he had dominion over his household, and he drove us all into sin. The word itself marred in the passage. I'm reminded, if you know, numbers in the Bible mean so many different things, and it's good for us to study it. I can't help but Brother Man being here. That's a six-letter word for man, and it defines us best, marred. None of us could measure up to what God made in Adam. By the way, after Adam fell, Adam couldn't measure up to Adam. And it took the second Adam to come and die for our sins. Just want to remind you, remember where you came from. The human race is marred, we're flawed, we're sinners, we're on our way to hell, and it's only because of what Jesus did for us that we can be anything that's worth, I'm talking do anything eternal, that we can spend any place and have any kind of high lifted up place. So you say, Preacher, man, you're getting after it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Maybe you don't remember what the Bible says about us. We often go here for people that need to be saved, but those of us that are saved, do you know that Romans really wasn't written to folks to be saved? It was written as a doctoral thesis for people under the law to realize exactly who they were. It was to convince Pharisees that they needed Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, we'll look in verse number 12. He says, "Wherefore..." Now, there's a lot that came before that. Every time we see it, we ain't got time to go back for it. But look at what he's saying. Because of all the things, Jesus really, well, go back with me to verse 10. You got time, right? So this is time out. This is your time, all right? You took it because you didn't know what it said. Verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Everybody that was under a law knew what atonement meant. They knew it as a yearly covering, but when Jesus came, he made one for eternity. Amen. And he says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. If you were to read on in that passage, you'd realize that there was another man that came. Amen. Death passed upon all men by one man, and one man came and died for all men. Amen. You say, that just don't equal up to me. Well, if it equals up that one man could plunge us all and mar us all by sin, then it makes good sense that one perfect man could come and pay the ultimate price and redeem all men back unto God. Sometimes we forget that all of us were under the same condemnation, but Jesus came. If it wasn't for the but God in the Bible, that he sent his son to die for us, it changed everything. This marred vessel had an opportunity to be saved and redeemed, reconciled unto God. And then if I could just say it like this, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but remade. Listen, I want you to go back to Jeremiah chapter 18 and look at it with me. He said, I went down, chapter 18, if you would, and I'm going to begin reading verse 33, I'm sorry. Then I went down to Potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Another vessel. It was whatever it was going to be, it wasn't that when he remade it. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, the potter, which is representative here, this potter down on earth is representing God Almighty. And if you think that he was caught by surprise that man was going to plunge themselves and the whole human race into sin, you got another thing coming. God had a plan to redeem us. And by the way, he has a plan for you, not only to redeem you, but to remake you. I want you to see the key here is that the vessel didn't get off the wheel. The vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, but it gave itself completely to the potter to remake it. I'll just say this. Listen, we are marred, but listen, those who are saved in this place today, I want you to understand that you're reclaimed material. When I get to the place where I start thinking down about myself, boy, I'm just dirt, I'm just marred, I'm just a sinner, but I get to say, hey, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I've been reclaimed by the Holy One. Listen, I don't know about you tonight, but I get excited when I realize that God left heaven's throne to come and redeem me because I was worth redeeming to him. I don't think there was any redeemable qualities in me, so he came and he saw something in me that I didn't see. And it wasn't real hard when I realized exactly what I was and where I was going without him to give myself wholly, to be remade to after I was marred by the hands of the potter. I've said it and quoted it often, but his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. If I would have been remade, I don't know what God, I said it this morning, listen, I don't know what I was going to be before I was marred in the hands of the potter. When I think of pottery, I think of two things. A bowl. A bowl is good for chili. It's good for cereal. It's good for a lot of things. But after it has to be remade, maybe it ain't going to be a bowl no more. Maybe it's going to be a coffee cup. Listen, both of them are used heavily in my house. Not so much for cereal anymore, but coffee, yes. Chili, yes. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm just saying, listen, I'm going to tell you that God has a vessel. He can take your vessel and use it for his honor and glory after it is reclaimed. The key to being reclaimed is realizing that the payment's been made. All you got to do is stay, put yourselves back into the mighty hand of God. The preacher, even this week, the description in John chapter 10 of what it's like to be saved is to be reclaimed and put yourself back into the mighty hand of God. First in Jesus' hand, and then in God's hand. And by the way, I'll just say this. When I explain it to little children so that they can hold on to their salvation, listen, if you look at a hand and you got somebody here, listen, nobody's going to pluck them out of their hand. But God also explains in Ephesians chapter 1 there, then verse 13, that he sealed us until the day of redemption. And so when I teach all them little kids, I say, when you get saved and you called upon Jesus, Jesus wrapped, listen, the Holy Spirit came and sealed you, and I stick a little car, I put like a little man, one of those Lego mans, inside of a Ziploc bag, and I zipper tight, man. And then I put that bag in my hand, and then I put the other hand. I have two or three of them little kids come try to get that Lego man, and they can't take that Lego man from me. And then I'll say, pour all you want on my hands, and they'll pour. I mean, I'll have them pour old cold coffee, old black and nasty, right? all you people drink cold coffee. You should be repent tonight. Cold coffee can't be redeemed or reclaimed. Amen and amen. Not even by microwave. Anyway, so pour all that all over your hands. And then I take that Ziploc bag, and it's nasty and sticky and got all that stuff on it. But I'll pop that bag open, and I'll pull that man out. You know what? That man's not dirty. There's nothing ever made it in. Nobody could pluck him out of my hand, and nothing could get to him inside there because he was sealed by the Spirit of God. When we get over ourselves and realize that nothing to do with keeping or having salvation had anything to do with us, except for us just simply allowing ourselves to be put in the mighty hand of God, we can realize and be reclaimed back unto God. He's the maker. He's the one that made us, and he made us for his honor and glory, for us to bring him glory and praise. And after I was marred, after the human race is marred, God desired for us to be reclaimed. But then after that, think about this. Think about God, and after you got saved and after you've been reclaimed, I want you to just know, listen, I want you to see the verse, all right? You say, well, what does it mean to be reclaimed, all right? Reclaimed means bought back. It means somehow you got away and you got out and reclaimed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And a lot of people use this for all types of things, and especially about, I would say, separation. This isn't about, and I think, and this is one of the things I'll just share with all of you tonight. And this will help you probably even for your own separation or your mindset. When we separate, we don't leave. We're not looking to separate from someone else. We're separating unto God. That means when I pull out, I'm not pulling out away from anybody in the church or my friends or anybody else. I'm not segregating myself from any people. I am pulling out and deciding that God is my destination. And I'm going to hook my wagon as close to him as I can. And if you want to stay back here away from God, I'm going to be separated unto God. But it also means I might be separated from you. Now, most of us, when we talk about separation, we think of it in the area of faith or practice. All right, folks, I'm just going to tell you that stuff there, listen, for most of us, all the areas of personal separation are us moving closer to God. It's got nothing to do with your neighbor or anybody next to you. Most of us spend most of our separation knowledge, instead of applying it, we apply it to others and we measure their fruit by it. Instead of trying to take all of that and check the boxes for our own lives, for where we live and what's going on with us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, the Bible just simply reminds us that for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Many of us, and I'll just encourage you tonight, once you get reclaimed, you ought to give God two things, the inner and the outer. Most of us, the thing that people see and are easier for people to point out, and sometimes it's easier for people to submit to, is the outer. I'll dress right when I come to church. That really ain't what God wants, although he does want that. God wants you to dress right for him, for his glory. Not just when you come to church. God wants you to dress right for him, for his glory. He don't just see you when you come to church. God don't look at everybody through cameras that we got around here, the ones that we're sending all this live stream to. God live streams your life every minute of every day. He watches over you while you sleep. And God wants you to get up in the morning and put on something that would be approving from heaven, that would make him happy. I'll just say this for every lady in the building today. If you wake up every morning and you got dressed for God, it would please your husband. Because if you please the Almighty, you're going to please the man that's in your house. Listen, men, if you got up every morning and you decided to live for the Almighty and to dress for him, to shave yourself for him, to trim yourself for him, to make sure that you looked in the mirror and you look like a man that God loves, and listen, and a man that loves God. Listen, I know that I said shave and all of you think I'm against beard. I'm not against that, but I'm against men looking like they just climbed out of the ditch. If I can't tell the difference between you and a man that's been drinking, it's because you won't take care of yourself. And every one of you boys down here that can't wait to graduate from college and not have to shave your face, get over yourself. Okay? Listen, can I just remind you that you're bought with a price, that you're not your own? If you woke up every day and you knew that God really wanted you to look like a man and a man that was a clean man, why wouldn't you do that for him? Amen and amen. Amen. Bought with a price. I realize as reclaimed material that God came from heaven and he purchased me. And the blessing is he didn't make me a robot when he did that. He didn't tell me exactly what I'm going to do. He gave me a Bible and said, if you really want to live an abundant life, here's how to live it. And he let me choose whether I was going to serve him or whether I wouldn't. He even said, listen, I'm going to let you choose for yourself, but if you live it my way, I'll reward you for it. When I see you face to face, I'll even say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Go back with me if you would. I just want you to understand that if you're serving God today, you go past saved and you're reclaimed material, but now the next step is serving God. When we serve God in the Christian life, we ought to realize that we're recycled material. It means, listen, I'm not like the old man. I'm remade in Jesus Christ. Let me remind you what recycled material is. It's material that's already been used for something else. Isn't it enough? Haven't you spent enough time serving the devil? Haven't you spent enough time serving yourself? Haven't you spent enough time doing it your way? And now you can figure out that, listen, you ain't going to live forever. That eternity's coming for every one of us. And that one day we're going to look Jesus face to face, and only what's done for him will bring glory and honor in heaven and reward. By the way, I don't just want to bring him glory when I get to heaven. I'd like to do it here. I'd like to do more than that. I'd like to bring a few people with me. Folks, I can't say it enough. When we think about when you think of recycled material, I don't know about you, I think about all these things. The world is real big on recycling. But listen, because they're going green and they're going to save the planet. Can I just tell you? They can't save it. It's dirt. It's winding down. It's always been God's plan. He is going to remake it. By the way, it's going to be recycled one day. Most recycled things go through a process of heat and fire, and they're remade and reattached and put back together. Hey, I'm just going to tell you, the potter, can you imagine the potter's wheel, and that's marred in the hands of the potter, and he remakes the vessel? Remaking is what recycling is. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I want you to be reminded that every person you'll meet this week is somebody that can be reclaimed. They're just marred in the hand of the potter. And if somebody would tell them about Jesus and what he would do, they could be reclaimed back to him. And if you took long enough and you went back and helped them get in church and get in the baptismal tank, they could be recycled just like you and serve God with their life. Had it not been for a soul winner, I'd be on my way to hell today. If it wasn't for somebody that cared about me and wanted me to see me recycled, and they brought me to the workman, the one that needed, listen, he wanted me to be at work. I'm his workmanship. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 today. I'm not preaching something that's theology. I'm preaching something that's real to me tonight because God's done it in my life. It is theology, but it's real, man. It's real to me. We live in a town where people needed to be real to them. I drive up and down and see the houses, and sometimes we can complain about all the cars and all the people, but I just see lost people going to and fro. And I realize that they're going to a devil's hell without Jesus. And we do all we can, and people might say, oh, what do we need so many radio stations for? It's more opportunities for people to hear the gospel. They might accidentally tune into something and hear something that'll hold them long enough to hear about Jesus.
Why do we need so many tracks? Why do we need so many soul winners? Why do we need so many buses? Why do we need to spend so much gas? Because people are lost and dying and going to hell. And some of them don't have a ride to church. Listen, I don't know about, our Spanish church is about to start another bus route, and they're not starting them close, brother. They're going out where people are. We used to have bus routes in Lake Wales and out towards Juanita and all these areas. We're going back to reclaim places that we used to be and take more places over and go and take people. Listen, I walked into a place and I told you A, B, C, and D, and E, and F, they ain't always the best kind of places to live. When you got an address and a bunch of letters behind it, and I'm just going to tell you that that person walked up and those people were nice to me. Listen, I could go all the places, didn't have no A, B, C, D, and F. And when I knock on the door, they don't come. They talk to me through that little camera. Say, what are you here for? Well, hi, I'm the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. I just want to give you an invite to church. We don't want none. Can I leave it on the door? No. Write me a dirty letter when I don't listen to them. And I stick it in the door frame anyway. You broke the seal of my house. Listen, there's a different seal that they ought to be worried about. And that ought to be the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Because listen, they're on their way to a devil's hell and they don't know about it. They think they got it made. They think they're rich, but they're blind. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, our town is full of folks that need it. Look, Ephesians chapter 2, I'm glad I have it marked or else I'd never get there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10 tonight. You know this verse. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I fear in this age that we realize that we are God's workmanship, but we forget the rest of the verse and what we're new, his workmanship for. You were created in Christ Jesus, and you put off the old man and put on the new man, not because God just wanted to do it for you. If all he wanted to do was change you, he'd have done it like he's going to do in the rapture. He'd have took you to heaven and changed you in the twinkling of an eye. It would not have been a process. God left you here and is processing and working with you so that you can work with others. If he had raptured you out at the moment you got saved, there would be no witness of him left here on earth. But he left himself a witness until he comes. That witness is you. That witness is me. That witness is our church. And we need to understand that there are so many people, more than just me and more than just you, that desperately needs to be able to serve God and be recycled. There are so many people that I've served and been around. Pastor Carter would give the same testimony. Get saved on their dying bed. One of those people is my grandfather. My dad's dad, we didn't get saved, and I didn't have the godly heritage that some of you have. My grandfather was saved, and my dad was saved, and I was saved. We did it in reverse. I got saved, my dad got saved, and then my grandfather got saved on his deathbed. But I thank God that he did call upon the name of the Lord. And I know that he's up there in the cloud of witnesses. And he's not in the Hebrews chapter 11. He's not in our charter names of the church that I was born again into. He's somebody that they reached out to and snatched him out of the fire. And now he's on the other side of glory. And I guarantee I'll get there. And he said, I watched you. I watched you do all the things that I wish I had done. I saw you do all those things. And I wish that I hadn't died and gone to heaven right after I got saved. I had so much I wanted to do for Jesus. Folks, I'm just going to tell you that recycled material, listen, a recycled napkin works just like a brand new one. How many of you pick it up and look at it and see recycled and go, ooh, I don't want that. I wonder where it's been. You know? It's made out of paper that was torn all to shreds and they took it back, and some of it's made out of cardboard. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, everybody else, Jesus is the best recycler there's ever been. He don't just make things into plastic bags, coat hangers. Listen, he makes stuff that can, it's going to last for eternity. Somebody that, all those things don't have a mind to work. And he remade us. We're his workmanship unto good works.
Sometimes we think it's, I want to lift me up and build me up and be edified. No, you get edified as a servant of God when you study and you edify others. I'm just going to tell you, as a Christian, my spiritual growth has, just exploded whenever God asked me to do something and serve Him, and I studied and I invested myself so I could invest in others. Soul winning is investing in others. Every level of God's service is investing in others. Jesus, others, and you. It always happens in that order. When you decide you're going to serve for Jesus. If you're going to serve Jesus, you're going to serve others. And the one that will get the most benefit out of all of it will be you. It's for His glory. But it's always, every time I've ever served and I've seen somebody saved, it was always for my good. Listen, Sunday morning, I came down out of the baptismal tank and came down just to see if anybody was here waiting on me. And Brother Perkins had a man leading him to Christ over here. He couldn't bring himself to walk the aisle and get saved, but he stepped out afterwards and said, I'll take that invitation. Listen, folks, whether it's an invitation while everybody's watching or if they take the invitation after everybody's gone, it's still answering the invitation of God and His call. Amen and amen. Listen, I don't want to just be recycled. I want to go further than that. I want to be remastered. Think about, he says he remade this vessel and made it another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Being remastered means that he made you into a vessel, and then as his workmanship, if you let him, he'll remaster you. Now, for me, what do you mean? Turn with me. Turn with me one more time. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see. You say, you should have let us mark that one. What fun would that be? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, and this is also a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to put it in the context of being remastered. Why is it that I put off the old man and I put on the new? Listen, that's something that I want to do to be more like Jesus, is my song. More like Jesus. I do that to be more like Him, but listen, I'm going to tell you, it's that remastering, when people see you, listen, for all of us, do you know when you dress right and do that for the glory and honor of God, people will stop you in Walmart. Now, why you're in Walmart, I don't know. But when you go, people will say you must be a Christian. I asked you to pray for Brother Chad. Listen, I don't know. I just was working as a maintenance guy here while I was going to college. Him and I worked late into the night, and we decided to go to Popeye's Fried Chicken. Now, you all know I like fried chicken. So don't ask me why I was there. We went in there and we sat down, and it was probably, I don't know, it had to be 6:30, 7 o'clock. We just left Lowe's, had a big load of stuff, working, getting ready to work the next day. Sat down and just having some fellowship. The words that are coming out of our mouth were words of amen, praise the Lord. Had a polo shirt on, pair of pants that wasn't full of holes. But they were work clothes, just like anybody else's work clothes. And a man walked up to us. Place was packed, pretty full of people. Somebody walked up and said, you men are Christians, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm a Christian too. Could I sit with you? I'm just coming through here on Highway 27, and I'd like to have some fellowship with you. I heard some of the amens and praise the Lords that were coming from this table. And I just thought, and he just sat down with us, and we just had an encouraging time. Sometimes, folks, it ain't always going to meet somebody that you're going to win to the Lord. Sometimes you just get the blessing of somebody knowing, you know, that somebody else that, listen, it was encouraging to me that some of the old men and the way I used to talk had been gone, and that when people walked by me, they said I sounded like a Christian. And I acted like a Christian. And they came to have fellowship with me because I was a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust,
and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, and look at what that says, true holiness. Do you know why the Bible had to put two words in there? And by the way, they're not italicized. That was in the originals. For all of you naysayers. Or if you're online, all right? True holiness. Because there is a holiness that people put on. And we call them holier than thou. You know what that means? They think they're holier than Jesus. Holier than thou attitude is, if they got their nose so high in the air, they'd drown if it rained. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I'm just going to tell you, anytime a marred vessel that's been remade, recycled, listen, I'm just going to tell you, base materials is still dirt. And when I want to be remastered, it means the best my dirt could ever look is to be like Jesus. I want to give you just a simple illustration. I don't know how many of you have ever seen The Wizard of Oz, but as a kid, I grew up, all my kids loved it. I mean, it's super old, right? Do you know that they remastered that? When they made it originally, it was black and white. But when they remade that Joker, they remastered it. And you know, somebody had the sense not to paint. They could have gone back and painted every frame, but they only painted it up until the point where she went over the rainbow. After that black and white, she went over the rainbow and everything became brighter and shinier and colorful. And everyone, I bet everybody in here's probably seen a piece of that and understood it, but I'll just say, I think about for my own life, after I was recycled and served God, the remastering of my life, when I get past just serving, but now I know why I do it from the Word of God. Listen, all that black and gray in between and all those things fade away, and the yellow brick road really looks yellow. What would the yellow brick road have been? Now, listen, I don't know. Some of you probably watched it before it was remastered. Don't tell me about it because I never saw it like that. But I'm just going to tell you, listen, how could you? It was a yellow brick road, but it was just black and white. Do you know what a Christian life that has been remastered looks like? It's modeling for someone else. This is the way to go. This is the yellow brick road. And they say, it just looks like any other kind of road to me. You sure this is the way to go? Yes, sir, this is the way God told me to go. Listen, I don't know about you, but listen, the Emerald City was an emerald in the first version. The older I get, not because of my age, but because of more I know about heaven and the more I have served him, heaven is so much brighter, and I long for it so much more than I ever did in the past. When I was a boy, I kept asking God, God, could you just wait to come back till I get married? Could you just wait till I have kids? Could you just wait till I have grandkids? I didn't realize those kids were going to grow up to be teenagers. I didn't know about that. Somebody should have warned me about that. Hey, I'm just going to remind you that heaven is a wonderful place. It is filled with wonderful reward. And as God has remastered my life and your life, many of you, listen, you got back, listen, after you got recycled, you got into the service of God, and while serving God, saved, you've been reclaimed, and now God has continued to remaster. Wouldn't it be great if a generation of young people came in this building, young Christians, how's that, all of ages, do you know what they need? They need somebody to disciple them. They need somebody. The word master all through the scripture means teacher. It means somebody to help them that has mastered some of the basic things of the Christian life and can say, this is how you pray. It's amazing to me how many folks, even when we lead people to the Lord, say, I do not know how to pray. But is it really that hard for us to believe when
The disciples were with Jesus. What did they ask him? Lord, teach us to pray. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we need a group of people that go past recycled and serving God to decide, I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to stay in the hands of the potter until he's done making me, or until he comes and changes me into his likeness. Folks, we have a wonderful opportunity as a church this week to be a witness to everyone around us. We have every week we could invite them, but you've got one of the greatest things to invite them to. Don't miss this big day of our church. You got something to brag on and excite people to come out. Please be a part of what we're doing this Sunday. Don't miss that opportunity. Do you know if you use that opportunity, you know what will happen the next week? It'll be easier to invite them just for church. Invite them just to be your friend. Invite them to know Jesus as their Savior. If we're not careful, we'll forget that we all started off as marred vessels and that we had to be reclaimed, recycled, and remastered. Tonight, I just wanted to remind you of some things that are absolutely true and all of us know. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that everybody else needs the same thing we got. And we can't do it unless we lead them to Jesus and tell them about him. We can't make the change in them. They're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We can just lead them to him and let him claim, let them get in the hand of an almighty God. In the same place that we put ourselves. And one of the blessings of my life, the pastor calls it clipping coupons, is to watch God. I've seen teenagers and young adults, when I led them to the Savior, get on the wheel and stay there and go past recycling to being remastered in the Christian life. And what I so want for so many of you is to be able to have your own stories of people that you help get reclaimed, recycled, and remastered. The only thing we can take to heaven with us, folks, is people. It's the only thing. Family, neighbors, friends, and folks that we don't even know, but we know that God does, and he paid for their sins. Tonight, the invitation is this to the Christian. What are you waiting on? God has done all the work for us to be able to get to work. If you're here tonight and you know you've never been saved, and when I said reclaimed by God, you don't even know. I mean, everything I said tonight was foreign to you. You've not experienced it. You don't know about any of that. Then what you need to be is redeemed. God has done all the work of redemption. He paid for every piece of it, and he would love to reclaim and redeem your soul. All you need to do is be willing to accept Jesus Christ. We spoke much of him tonight, but not much about his death, burial, and resurrection, and that's exactly what it took to redeem the human race back into God. The atonement that we spoke of before was the blood of our Savior that paid for our sin. And if you simply listen tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you would let us take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about how you can be saved, born again into the family of God, we'd love to do that. But Christian, here today, I'd ask you to do this. Would you just make a decision tonight to re-up for God? I told the story. One of the most encouraging things for me, my pastor, many of you haven't seen him for a while, that I grew up under, 89 years old, is thankful for all that I'm doing. But somebody visited the church and didn't walk the aisle. And he just got excited about it. And I was busy here, and I wasn't there. There's no pastor on a daily basis. So the retired pastor, Pastor Emeritus, got in his car, went looking for him, couldn't find a house, called him on the phone. He said, I'm working today, but I'd meet you at Denny's. Met him at Denny's and led him to Christ. Every week, they sit down in the front and they sit together. That young man got saved. Young man got in the baptismal tank. You know what that young man is doing? There's a man, and he looks at him, and he's remastered. You know what he is to him? He's a leader. He's somebody that told me about Jesus. He's somebody that'll help me through every need I have in the Christian life. And they sit together on a weekly basis. If you don't think that's not precious to him, it's precious to him. It ought to be precious to us. If you've never had that experience of winning somebody to Christ, boy, I encourage you as a church, ask God to help you with it. You may just have to start off by taking a track and reading it to somebody. Or you can come and learn how to go soul winning with the Foster Club this Saturday or with the Fishers of Men. We're not just a church that asks you to go and throw you in it. We'll go with you. We'll teach you how to do it. But we got to have a burden to do it. And not for us or for the church, but for Jesus, because he asked us to. Would you stand to your feet tonight? As God's people, we've taken much time to speak much about the work of God. Let me ask you tonight, will you make a commitment to the Lord to pray, to go, to invite? You can do that in your seat, but boy, you could do that at the altar. If you're here tonight and you need Christ, you want us to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved or reclaimed unto God, would you meet me in the front? I'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We'd be happy to do that. But God's people, would you do what God's asked you to do? As Brother Caleb sings tonight and the music plays, would you step out and come?